You're listening to Let's Talk Business with Susan Smith, the brand new podcast that connects entrepreneurs from all over the world. And this will also go on Ross FM 94.6. In the studio with me today, I have the wonderful Áine McDermott, who is a chef and nutrition health coach and also the founder of A Natural Approach. Also in the studio with me, I have the lovely Marie Nugent, who is co-hosting today on the podcast. Áine, you're very welcome to the studio today and thanks so much for coming in to join us. It's great to actually have you here.
Thanks, Susan. I'm delighted to be here.
Delighted to have you. Áine, I just have a few questions here to talk to you about your business, which you're really promoting at the moment, and you've got a fabulous new range of products and new website, and it's very exciting. But can you talk to us a bit about how it all began for you? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay. Thanks, Susan. So basically, I'm from Galway and I qualified as a chef many, many moons ago. I won't say how many. And I worked in many places in, I suppose, the top restaurants in Galway, like the 12 Pins and the Old Malt and different places like that. And then I moved to London and I worked in London for a while and I cooked for Simon Le Bon and Princess Margaret. And then I came back from London and I decided, you know, the catering world is pretty full on. So I wanted to change. So I actually opened up my own bakery and I was supplying restaurants in Galway City. But then I met a wonderful farmer from Ballyhadreen. And I decided to move to Roscommon. And so I'm based in Ballyhadreen now. So I am... Also with that, I wanted something that was more family-friendly. So I knew people in Galway who were into women's health issues. So I trained as a fertility care practitioner with the American Academy of Fertility Care Practitioners. And I've been working in that field for the past 18 years. But I've also set up cookery classes with the GRETB in Roscommon. And I worked in the Castlereagh Prison. I worked in Ballyhadreen itself, running cookery classes, the first ones ever. So health and well-being has always been part of my life. So then recently, in relation to the food and the women's health, I went on and trained as a nutritional health coach, also kinesiology and acupressure. And it's all to do with, I suppose, the holistic approach to health and well-being.
Wow, Áine, you certainly have a huge amount of qualifications there across a broad spectrum, really. Mm-hmm. And so growing up, were you kind of entrepreneurial as a child? Did you set out in life to kind of go into your own business and create your own thing? Were you hugely creative?
I was always very creative. My mother was also very creative. I can remember, actually, my mother is very creative. One of the areas she would have been creative is in gardening. And she was into dried flowers. So I can remember a good few years ago, she decided to make dried flower arrangements. And I'm sure most people are familiar with the market in Galway, the famous market. So we used to go in there on a Saturday and sell her products. And she allowed me to make smaller products and when I was small. And she, yeah, that's kind of the bug was there. I also would have had a vision of myself when I was about 8. I could see myself as an entrepreneur in my 30s. I'm more than 30 now. But no. We won't say how old I am. But
Wow, so your creativity started at a young age, really, with the help of your mum, I suppose, allowing you to participate on those projects and that. And where did the health and nutrition and that end of things come into it with you?
Okay, so that's a great question. I suppose you could say my mother, again, would have been always into her health. But I would have had, I suppose, health concerns myself with food. But back 20 years ago, there wasn't a lot of information out there.
Indeed.
So I was lucky enough to, with the area I worked in, to come into contact people who had the knowledge. So that's why I trained as a nutritional health coach, the kinesiology and the acupressure. I discovered that I had food intolerances. Doctors weren't listening. I wasn't falling into the slot that they could see. So I suppose I just investigated myself. And it was through that I discovered my own intolerances. And moving on from that, my children have intolerances, my people in my own family, and I also do food intolerance testing as well. So it's from personal experience and need that I went into those areas, because it is massive, the difference in your energy and life when you change your diet.
That's actually extremely interesting, something I would be interested in myself. Can I ask you, Anya, what kind of effects would taking in the something you were intolerant to have on your overall sense of well-being? And are there, like, would it affect you physically and mentally, all in one?
Yeah, so they vary. So because when we have a food intolerance, we're not... It's not like an allergy, like when you eat nuts, you can kind of choke on that. It's not that. So an intolerance is more subtle. So you can feel, I'll speak about myself. So for me, when I used to eat those foods, I would have low energy, a pain in my gut, a headache, irritable. My desire for food would go down. Just absolutely feel horrid.
Wow.
Absolutely horrid. Yeah, absolutely horrid.
So really common ones for a lot of people are wheat and dairy.
They are.
They would be. Would they be two out of the top 10, say, for instance?
Dairy, wheat and eggs. Eggs is a sneaky one. Most people don't think eggs are sneaky.
Wow.
So, and yeast.
Interesting.
So they would be the top four. But even for my own son, the doctors just weren't interested.
No.
And so what I did was, to kind of prove it to myself, I put him on his energy was low. He went from being energetic, playing brilliant sports and whatever, to literally he was falling over on the pitch.
Wow.
He was asleep. He was, it was awful. It was really awful. He just became a different child. And then through the nutrition and the food intolerances, and now he's, I mean, he represented Roscommon. He went to Amsterdam last year with the Roscommon Academy for Soccer. And, the transformation is just unbelievable.
Wow.
It's just incredible.
So nutrition has a massive, it really does have a massive effect on your overall sense of well-being.
And the quality of your life.
Absolutely.
It's quality.
Yeah.
Because you can, it's about quality. It's not about just being well. It's thriving.
Yeah.
And having full of energy.
Yeah.
Some people don't even know what it feels like to feel well. And Marie, there, you just have a question.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering, because it's interesting, you used your own experiences, but your husband wouldn't have been part of that. How did he take the whole thing of you and your own journey, and also, but applying it to your children as well? Was he totally supportive, or... did he actually embrace any of it?
Well, I do say to him all the time, he's the luckiest man in Ballyhadreen because he gets fed so well. So my husband, Mike, he would have always eaten fruit and veg and stuff. So there was no real conversion there, but he would have a little bit of a sweet tooth. So that's a little bit of a problem of buying packets of biscuits and hiding them, you know, but not supposed to be eating them, but sneakily buying them. So that's a challenge that continues in our house. But, and he would sort of like say to me sometimes when I'm eating salad and my own vinaigrette, he kind of call it bird food sometimes. But now when he sees my son so well and the health and well-being revolution that's out there, he has utter respect now. Oh yeah. Oh no, he does. He's the luckiest man in Ballyhadreen for all that, being fed so well.
He absolutely is, Anya. But I can tell you now that food should give you energy and not make you feel tired.
No.
I mean, if you sit down and have a pizza, you're going to probably feel like you need to sleep about half an hour later.
Well, you shouldn't if you're not wheat intolerant, it shouldn't.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah.
And are some people intolerant to rice?
Very few.
Right, okay. Pasta would have wheat.
Pasta would have wheat.
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
It is a tricky one.
Can I ask you about, because I would be, you know, I'd be very much aware of pasta, and I brought my daughters for kinesiology sessions when they were younger, so I'm a big believer in it. I think it's absolutely fantastic. But I want to ask you, because I have substituted the gluten-free, is there benefit in that?
Okay,
so am I delusional thinking I'm doing really, really, really well and it, you know.
Okay,
so
that's a great question. So basically gluten is a protein. Mm. There is no nutritional value to gluten in our bodies. We can totally live 100% without gluten. Okay, the reason for gluten, if you can remember when you were making pastry, yeah? And you know when you've kneaded the pastry and you roll it out, and you know the way it's coming back at you really fast, and you go to roll it and you're baiting it up and down. Well, basically, that's the gluten in the flour.
Elasticity.
It is, and the more we knead it, actually the worse it gets. So that is what gluten is in products, and that's its job. So you can 100% live without gluten.
Wow.
There is no negative adverse effects of being without gluten.
Okay, and the fact that there's no gluten in the pasta, it's definitely beneficial for you. Well, they can actually take it out, or they're not substituting something else.
Oh no, they're not substituting it, no, because you can get rice pasta.
Yeah.
You can get corn pasta. Yeah. So there's even a soya flour one. So there's lots of different types of pasta. So the only benefit to you is if you have a gluten intolerant, it's a benefit. But if you're not gluten intolerant, it's of no benefit to you.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Anya, another big question. Meat. Where do we stand?
Okay.
Good, bad, get it out of your diet, live a vegan lifestyle, or is it different for everybody?
I think that meat is a protein. Okay, as we know. So the point is, it's about a balanced diet. And obviously people decide to go vegan for their personal reasons, for animal welfare. That's their choice.
Yeah.
So it is a personal choice. So I do, though, think that it's about balance. And I think in Ireland, while we're surrounded with water, we're still not eating enough fish.
Absolutely.
So in rural areas, there is an inclination to have a steak or meat, a mate on the table every day. And if you don't have meat on the table, that's it, it's not a dinner. Whereas I suppose I'd be looking at meat twice or three times. White, we'll say your pork, your turkey or your chicken, and then your fish minimum of twice a week.
Yeah.
So it's about variety.
That's a good
because
balance.
We do need the meat for iron if you're not getting your iron from your vegetables. So yeah, it's about balance.
Completely understand. And fish, definitely seafood. I mean, certainly in the likes of Japan, where they live the longest out of anybody else in the world, their diet would consist mainly of fish and rice as well. So, but then when you think of all of the awful things in the ocean and you know what the fish are actually taking into their bodies, and then you kind of have to start asking yourself, well, am I taking that into my body too?
Okay.
It's nutrition, I tell you, it's a vast area.
No, it is a big area, and that's why it's important to get the up-to-date information that's out there now. So the bottom line is, like omega-3 you can get from plant foods as well.
Yes, omega-3.
Okay, you'll get it in the vinaigrette I have there. My vinaigrette is made from Irish rapeseed oil, and that is rich in omega-3. So we don't have to depend on fish, even though fish are amazing. So what you need to look out for when you're buying fish is that it's wild.
Yes, and not farmed. Yes.
Wild. Because I remember when I worked in a few places in Galway, like luckily the fishermen caught the fish literally a half an hour previously when they bring it in. So I was used to seeing the fresh fish, and for instance salmon, so for anybody who hasn't seen a full salmon, their nose is quite pointed, so I was used to the salmon coming in, I'd know whatever it was fresh. But then when they started, new fishermen came in and they'd bring you up salmon, I used to be looking at it going, his nose is rounded. It was the cages. They were bouncing off the cages. So you'd refuse the fish.
That's terrible.
Because they're not wild. They're actually in cages. So their noses were bouncing against the cages trying to eat. And their noses were actually visibly rounded.
Awful.
So you knew what that was one thing way we were able
to tell
whether it was fresh.
Yeah, and I think in the supermarkets, isn't it, that it's the colour that you by which you can actually know whether it's farmed or not. And why are they promoting then the farmed salmon if it's not
cheaper?
As much
it's money,
beneficial.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like Susan's saying, it's money. So wild is best. And even funnily enough, like when I've given talks to different places down through the years, and recently I've been into the TY in Ballyhadreen giving a talk, and in the library in Ballyhadreen as part of the Healthy Ireland initiative. And one of the questions that comes up a lot is like about tinned food. But actually tinned wild salmon is an extraordinary high quality product.
That's
great. And when we think of canned food, we think, canned food is bad or whatever. No, but there's a couple of products that are fantastic, like lentils, chickpeas, beans, magnificent. They're the one of the foods, apart from fish, that hold a nutritional value as tinned product.
That's amazing.
So you don't have to spend hours soaking your lentils or whatever, $10,000.
Your chickpeas
for $10,000. No, you buy them. The organic ones, Bayona is a great brand. and they're ready to go. Tinned beans, your tinned fish as in your wild salmon, your sardines and your mackerel, all tinned, not in oil but in brine, are really brilliant product.
That's interesting. That's interesting to know. Anya, I just want to have a chat with you now about something that's very exciting coming up for you. You've got a new website launch, which is www.anaturalapproach.ie, and that's being launched next week. But you've also this exciting new business that you're taking to the market, and can you talk to us a bit about that?
Okay, thanks, Susan. Yeah, so next, this summer, I'm starting the first ever kukri camp for children and teenagers in Ballyhadrine, and I'm really excited about that. So I'm looking forward to teaching them life skills. Cleaning up after themselves and hygiene is going to be part of it, so the moms will be very happy. And as a mom myself, I know how important that is. But seriously, I really want to give children the skills to look after themselves, really and truly look after themselves, and cook simple, basic, healthy food quickly. And that's really what, and I want them to do it in a relaxed and fun way. So that's happening in Ballyhadrine and the last week in July, on the 23rd to the 27th. So I'm really excited about that. Also, I've started to make my own homemade vinaigrette, which is unique because of the quality of the ingredients that are in it. So hopefully I'll be bringing that to shops soon.
And Anya, I just want to say to our listeners out there, I'm holding a bottle of this vinaigrette, and I have to say it's one of the most attractive, most authentic looking bottles of product that I have seen. And what I really, really love about this is you've handwritten labels on it. And I just like it, just kind of ties in with the natural ingredients. And I'd like to say thanks again for giving me a bottle, because I'm really looking forward to trying it. Yeah. But it's an absolutely beautiful bottle. And is this the end product here for the shelves?
Yeah, it's funny because how that came about was I ordered the bottles from Germany, and then I was putting the tags together, the labels. And what happened was, because I love salads, so I've always made my own vinaigrette, but down through the years when I've been giving kukri classes, it is one of the most popular things that people ask me for again and again. And when I've had dinner parties, people are always talking about it. So when I did a bit of research, there isn't actually an Irish branded vinaigrette in the market at the moment. There's lots of small people making it, but not an Irish known. So that's my goal to be. So I've been in contact with the Enterprise Board in Roscommon there last month, and I brought them a bottle of it like that. And the tag that you see on it was because I ran out of space. I had so much information. I said, I need to tell people so much more about this product. And then that's how that. So I brought that to them, and everybody, people I brought to the health food shops and friends and neighbours, everybody's saying the same thing, that they just love its authenticity. Yeah. And that's what it is, because
it's absolutely wonderful, and it's very, very unique.
Yeah.
Congratulations on the launch of this new product, and I'm sure it'll be a massive success. And you're the only Irish person who's launching a product that's completely 100% Irish and natural. And Marie, I think you had a question there yourself.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering, when you were talking about the children's cookery course that you were doing, what age group are you going to, is there a specific age limit or between, or do you have dates or anything like
I do
that?
Yeah, so the dates are from the 23rd to the 27th of July, so it's 5 days. So I'm going to be doing ages from 8 to 13, which is primary school. Now some children finish primary school at 12, but sort of like that's the age. So from 8 to 12 stroke 13, and they'll be in the morning from 10:30 to 1:30, and sort of like a 3-hour session. And then in the afternoon I'm going to do the teenagers, and they'll get 3 hours as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It's really exciting.
It's great, because it is something that we do tend to let our children away with, is not cleaning up. You know, in comparison to our day, you were basically made do it. But, you know, it's something that we seem to have taken back on ourselves again, and we need to be giving it back to their children too.
No, we do, because eventually, please God, if they go and leave home and they work or go to college, they need to be self-reliant. Absolutely. And they'll have enough changes to deal with, besides the drama of cooking for themselves. Mm-hmm. And it is, and basically, I mean, I've seen it with my own. If you eat well, you can focus well, and you can have energy and thrive. And that's what's needed. And also for obviously mental health, it's essential.
Absolutely. And I think the wonderful thing about that is, and you see, I'm not talking about all students, but you do tend to see with a lot of students, they go down to the shop, they're on a budget, you're looking at the pizza, the bag of pasta and a jar of sauce and or pot noodles or noodles. And this is kind of the staple diet of a great many students. And that's just purely for convenience to be able to cook a meal quick and because it's cheap. But the fact that they're going to be learning from age 8 how to cook reasonably priced healthy meals,
right.
It's going to have a profound effect on their well-being when they're in college, and as you said, especially with the omega-3 and everything for their brain for when they're studying. I mean, it's just, I think it's a phenomenal thing you're doing, Áine.
Thank you very much, and hopefully they'll be able to cook for the family. Like for my kids off during, I won't say kids, they're teenagers, if they're listening, teenagers and wonderful children they are. And so basically what I do is when they're off in the summer, each one of them will cook one meal a week. Or if they're off at Easter, they're the chef for the day. So I left Rossi today. I left him with the ingredients, and he was cooking for today.
That's fantastic.
So they cook, and then they clean, and then they are. And I get them to ask me what it is they like to cook, and I get the ingredients, and then they cook it, and they cook it for the family.
Wow, and it's actually an enjoyable thing.
Well, okay. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's brilliant for them because they'll say, "Well, can I throw in this instead?" And I'm like.
Mess
that
around
in.
With
amazing.
Recipes.
Yeah. And mess around the kitchen as well. But they get to clean it up. And you know, that's a really important part too, because often people go to put like leftover bits of potato and they put the pot into the fridge. I'm like, no.
Oh gosh.
No, that can't happen for hygiene reasons. You have to put it into a Tupperware with a lid that fits, and then you have to unfortunately wash the pot.
Yeah.
So they'll be learning all those practical skills.
You see, that's fantastic. But you see, for a lot of girls though, and certainly when I was growing up, but we had home economics, yes. And we had teachers who were teaching us, you know, this is how you cook, you clean as you go along.
That's right.
And we were learning that. I know I was, I'm sure you guys were as well.
Right.
But boys, a lot of boys didn't actually take home ec, they took another subject, which is understandable. And they wouldn't have learned.
No,
I find when boys are shown how to do something, they actually enjoy doing it.
Oh, no, they do. I have to say, both mine do.
Yeah.
There's one probably more than the other, but they do, and they feel proud when they're sitting down eating the meal.
And independent.
Yeah, they're delighted with themselves.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, no, it is great.
All those skills, because when we were young, we were taught sewing and actually knitting. And my daughter the other day, and she's 24, and she says, I'd love to knit a scarf. So we went off and we got wool, and I showed her how to put on the stitches. But, you know, all of these things, or even just to sew on a button.
Yeah,
so essential.
Or to sew a tiny rip in a dress or
Absolutely.
Something that you could disguise.
Yeah,
it's so important to be able to do that.
Life skills, get your
life skills. Yeah.
Life
yeah.
skills.
That's a career opportunity
an
opportunity for classes for somebody for during the summer. There'd be a lot of peers that'd be lining up to take it.
Absolutely. And it's
children.
Well, I'm hoping that if this goes well, that I would be taking sort of like TY or students who are getting their leaving cert for a day or two and do those life skills as well. Even the iron. I've seen it with my own. I've teaching them with the iron. They go to use it at the wrong temperature and like ruin a very expensive like Liverpool.
That's not just kids, that's adults as well can actually use the iron at the wrong temperature, you know, and it's a great, there are little things that people never think about that children.
But they're big things if you ruin your Liverpool shirt.
Absolutely.
That
expensive
nearly
things.
Nearly €100.
Yeah.
Lesson learned.
Yeah.
So Áine, when can we expect to see this beautiful product in shops?
Yeah, so hopefully in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
I'm talking here with Tati Hooker at the moment. She's very interested.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, so look out for it.
Well, I can tell you now, if I had a health food store or a grocery store, I would be stocking this myself, and I'm dying to try it later. Áine, we're just coming to the end of our interview now, but I'd just like to ask you if there's a lot of people out there and they just don't know where to start with nutrition. It's new to them. They want to get healthy, and you see people going in to buy a roll and they fill it up with stuff, and a lot of the stuff is really not healthy, but they think it's healthy. What would be the one piece of advice you would give to somebody to kind of break them in to becoming a little bit more healthy nutrition wise?
Okay, I think the first thing is actually to decide. I know that might sound very basic, but I've had people who come to me for nutritional advice and they expect me to have a magic formula and to do it for them. And a lot of people aren't committed, they think they are. So to actually make a change, you have to be ready to change. So to be very clear, it's a mental decision you need to make first. And then the second thing would be, I suppose water is probably one of the basic things that people forget to do.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning, we are the most dehydrated.
Oh, yes.
We are 70% water. So if think of every part of your body needs water. 70% of it needs water. So if it's deficient in water, every single part of you is deficient. So your brain will be deficient. Your digestion will be deficient. So I would say water is number one.
Excellent tip there, because water is essential. Marie, would you like to ask Anya any questions before we sign off?
No, I'm just fascinated talking to you because, you know, your wealth and breadth of experiences are just fantastic. And we were all, the three of us were sitting here earlier talking, and the experiences everybody brings it's just fantastic. But where do you see yourself going with this? Which area would you like to? Is there an area you would like to focus on? And what is it you would like to see yourself doing?
That's a great question.
For now.
Yeah, that's a great question. I suppose I started with food.
Yeah.
And food is my. I love creating with food. I think food is magic, and it is our medicine. So I think food is the backbone, I suppose, of what I will be doing. Bringing, like, say, my homemade vinaigrette, which is so healthy, nutritious, is an essential part of that. But I think ultimately, then passing on the knowledge, so teaching. So obviously, the teaching and the cookery classes and camp. Is going to be
that's
also
the start of
it is also yeah. And I think because I do the kinesiology and the acupressure, I can deal with people. It's holistic. What puts into your mouth is important, but who we are is important. So the kinesiology and the acupressure help you on that journey to wholeness as well. So it's a combination of all.
So can you see yourself doing, like, podcasts or putting together programs online, or is that something that may consider for the future?
Yeah, no, I would certainly consider it, because Ian, that's helped me design my webpage, has been talking to me about that. So that is something that he will be nudging me towards.
Excellent.
As we move forward.
Well, Anya, it's been an absolute joy to have you here in the studio. And thanks, Marie, as well. I was thinking Marie Nugent and I said student. That's been Anya McDermott there, who is chef and nutrition health coach, and also the founder of A Natural Approach. And you can go on to www.anaturalapproach.ie next week when it's launched, and you can find out information about stuff. Anya, if anybody wants to contact you, do you want to give out some social media details, maybe where they can actually get in touch? Or if you want, you can give out our studio details here, whatever you choose yourself.
Yeah, well, my phone number, if you go to the webpage, that's the best.
All the information.
It's all there.
Excellent. So that's a naturalapproach.ie. Anya, that's the end of our interview here today, but it's been thoroughly enjoyable. And thanks to you, and thanks to the lovely Marie Nugent as well.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.